Hello, my friends, and welcome once again to the Deeper Daily Podcast. It's the sixth day of September, and I'm your host, Paul White. I'm so glad you're with me. It is Labor Day here in the United States. This is that unofficial end of the summer. So many of our students are back in school. My daughter's in school. My son's in school. But in a lot of the United States, schools don't start until this week. Many of them start Tuesday or Wednesday of Labor Day week, and so most everybody is finishing up their summertime activities. It's kind of that last hurrah of getting all of the summer out of your system. And we celebrate it as a day of sort of honoring labor by giving a lot of people a day off. And that doesn't ever seem like a bad thing. And so I hope that if you are off today, you're getting a little bit of rest and you're enjoying one final day of the summer. Wherever you are, I pray grace and peace and favor upon you, and I thank the Father for you, and I thank you for listening in today, whether it's in real time or it's later, and you're just catching up on the DDP. I so appreciate it. We are dealing with Cain and Abel from Genesis chapter 4, verse 4. Abel brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat, and the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. Now, there's a lot of stuff that's going to happen over the next few verses that get into the conscience of man and what sin is. But this moment here has tended towards the creation of our understanding of the sacrificial system as a system requiring blood. The problem with landing on that is that when you get into the Levitical offerings and the codes for each offering, not every offering has blood. And you say, yes, but if it's a sin offering, it has blood. Okay, but this isn't a sin offering. You see, Cain and Abel are not offering up and offering a sacrifice as a result of having done something wrong. They're just offering up a sacrifice at the end of days. I don't know what it is that is ending, as we talked about yesterday, but they're offering a sacrifice with no instruction. It's not as if God has come down and said, here's what a good sacrifice looks like versus here's what a bad sacrifice looks like. It has more to do with the individual offering it than it does what the individual is offering. You could say we maybe have even done this backwards. Rather than letting what we know about Old Testament sacrifices inform and persuade how we view the Cain and Abel story, maybe we should do it the other way around. Maybe because Abel's offering is accepted, vis-a-vis Abel is accepted, versus Cain's offering is not accepted, or Cain is not accepted, that causes the Old Testament narrative to tilt toward Abel's style offering rather than Cain's style offering, because a majority of the sacrificial system involves the shedding of blood, and in many cases, the blood of the firstborn animal, which is what Abel offers, a firstborn animal, versus Cain, who offers the fruit of the ground, crops, and imagine fruits and vegetables that he offers up as a sacrifice. So rather than looking at it and going, oh, well, God rejected Cain because his offering didn't bleed, because later on God says they need to bleed, how's Cain supposed to know that? Maybe this story of the offerings is birthed out of the acceptance of Abel's offering, which bled, which maybe it's taken as a sign that he was willing to shed blood in his sacrifice versus Cain, who was not. But let's don't be unfair to Abel or to Cain. Both of them are giving what they know, and both of them are giving a piece of their livelihood. Abel is a keeper of sheep. This is what he does. Each sheep is worth something. Cain is giving the fruit of the ground. He's a farmer, a gardener, and he's giving something that has a dollar amount attached to it. Now, it's a trade value market. You don't say the lamb is worth X amount of dollars. That didn't exist. But the lamb might be worth so many pounds of grain on the trade market, and that grain might be worth so many lambs. You see how that barter and trade system works? So they're both bringing their economy to the Lord. So to be fair, they're both sacrificing something. So what is it then about Abel versus Cain that is accepted? Well, for this, we don't actually have to guess. And the shameful thing is that we've guessed based upon later information. Let me tell you what I mean. Later, the Old Testament, God will tell Israel that they are to sacrifice lambs or goats or bullocks and pour their blood upon the altar as the atonement for sin. And then we get into the New Testament, and here's Jesus dying as a firstborn son, as the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world, and blood is being shed. And so we take all of that information, and we go back to Abel, and we go, okay, God accepted Abel because his blood. And yet God doesn't say that to Abel. And here's the big kicker, the New Testament actually counters that argument. The book of Hebrews, in the famous Hall of Faith passage, all of these biblical characters who displayed faith and that's why they are favored, tells you in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4, by faith Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it he being dead still speaks. And so Abel, according to Hebrews 11:4, it's by faith that Abel's accepted, not by blood. So what we see from Abel is that he brings his belief to the sacrifice versus Cain, who does not bring his belief. The problem with Cain is that he doesn't approach the sacrifice with faith, which leads us to believe that perhaps he approaches it with either unbelief or with obligation. Oh, this is what we're supposed to do? We're supposed to offer up a sacrifice? Fine. Here, take the sacrifice. Because the Hebrews account tells us that it's by faith Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice. And I don't think that the book of Hebrews is trying to accent the sacrifice, I think it's trying to accent the faith. So the issue with the bringing of the sacrifice in Genesis 4 is on behalf of the offerer, not the offering. And that sets a precedent for all of our sacrifices, whatever they may be. It's not about what I give him. It's about who I am as I give it, and how I feel about giving it. The old covenant would wrap itself up in what we do, and then we would start to take our identity in what we do. Like, you didn't have to believe it. God said, don't murder. You just didn't murder. It didn't matter if you hated people. You just didn't murder them. Okay, you're good. Jesus comes along and goes, no, that's not what was supposed to happen. If you hate your brother, you have murdered him. You go, well, that's pretty extreme. I didn't murder him. Notice how, though, under a new covenant, it's not just the doing, it's the heart, it's the attitude. That's a precedent that actually comes from Genesis 4. It's not that it's a bleeding lamb. It's that it's a heart of faith. And it's not that God hates first fruits of grain and corn. In fact, it's how he feeds his priesthood in the book of Leviticus. But it's the heart of Cain in that sacrifice. So it's not just what Jesus does for us on the cross. It's the heart of the Jesus that's on the cross. All right, more from our Genesis 4 journey tomorrow. See you then. God bless.